We're all in need of exhortation, brethren and sisters, and now it gives me pleasure to call upon Brother Kevin to help us out. Thank you, Brother Kevin.
Thanks, Brother Paul, and it's good to see you, brothers and sisters, and young people and friends. We read, didn't we? O God in highest heaven, our God that heareth prayer. And we also read these things, didn't we? Would you turn to our Chronicles reading, please? Chronicles chapter 6, particularly want to look at. It's a time, as we know, of the consecration of the temple in Jerusalem, the place that God had chosen to put his name there. And the wonderful prayer of Solomon unto God. And the 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 19. Solomon prays to God in verse 19. Have respect therefore to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication. O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee. Not just to hear, but to hearken. Hearken intelligently, attently is the idea of the word. To hearken to the words, the prayer of Solomon. In fact, 11 times he beseeches God in this chapter. We notice in verse 20 at the end there and verse 21, hearken therefore unto the supplication of thy servant and hear from thy dwelling place in heaven. And verse 23 and so on throughout this chapter. Here, 11 times God has been beseeched by on behalf of Solomon to hear his prayer. And then in verse 40, as he sums up, he says, now my God, let I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. And tomorrow we're going to read in verse 12 of the next chapter, chapter 7. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself and house for sacrifice. In verse 14, comforting words, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. And that's the theme for our exhortation this morning, brothers and sisters. Is it want to look at the ear? Want to look at the ear, how it's used in Scripture. We've touched upon it there in Solomon's prayer. But how it features in the life of Israel and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and importantly, in our lives. But before we look at the Scriptures, I'd like us to actually consider the anatomy of the ear just for a few moments. It's a wonderful structure, and it's worthy of exhortation this morning to encourage us. Because sometimes we can hear the words, we'll hear the prayer. My brothers and sisters, God hears the prayer. But actually, the wonderful creation of God is a marvel in itself. But first of all, a disclaimer. I'm not medically trained at all, and I know there are many in this audience that are, so please bear with me if my descriptions are not particularly accurate. But just bear with me. When we look at the ear, it's quite a peculiar shape, isn't it? But it's set in a fixed position, and it's facing forward. Unlike if you have a dog or a cat at home, the ear is turning all over the place, isn't it? Picking up words behind them and all around. Our ears are designed to face forward, to speak together, one to another, as brothers and sisters. As God did to Moses, a speak man, face to face. So we're designed for fellowship, for socialising together, aren't we? It's forward facing. It's got a unique shape that will trap the ear and funnel the sound into our inner ear, the middle ear. Remarkable in itself. But then when we go a little bit further into the middle ear, we find there is, as we know, there's an eardrum, isn't there? And the sound waves, it creates pressure, and it causes the eardrum to move in and out. And attached to that, we have three remarkable bones. Each of these bones, there's a hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup that so described because they look exactly like that, or similar to that. But each of these bones, they weigh less than a grain of rice. Yet they're perfectly shaped and perfectly formed and all working together as many members in one organ, the ear. So when the ear drum is moving, it then is attached to the hammer that is pounding. It's then pushing on an anvil. And then that then is pushed on a stirrup which touches the middle ear. So all these three ears, these three parts of the ear rather, are specifically designed. They're all shaped. The technology, the engineering involved in that is remarkable. But unlike the rest of our bones in our body, from birth they're growing, they're getting larger. The bones in our ears, they don't grow at all. They're fixed in shape and design. Now that's remarkable, isn't it? But of all these things, these bones particularly don't grow at all. But why have three things? Why not just have one eardrum? Well, because by a series of levers and movements, the sound is amplified. So we get the sound and it's amplified through these bones to make the sound even more stronger. In fact, it's been recommended, or recognised rather, that the sound is amplified up to 20 times more than we could hear normally if we didn't have these three bones. So this stirrup, the last of the bone, that is being activated by the other part of the bone, and that's touching against the inner ear, the cochlea. Now inside that, it's a wonderful structure that's spiral shaped. There's over 20,000 hairs or hair-like structures in there that are acted upon by the vibration of fluid in there by the stirrup. So when we hear sound, it's doing that, it's vibrating and causes the fluid to vibrate and it triggers the hairs. And each of these hairs going up goes from a low note to a high note, so we pick up all the different frequencies of hearing. What's more remarkable, as these hair-like structures are moving, it induces an electric current that then is sent to our brain, and we get a sound, so you can hear me speaking this morning. We can hear the birds singing. All these wonderful things in such a small little package. It's marvellous, isn't it? But more than that, also attached to the ear, there's another vessel that's got a similar hair-like structure that is used for balance. So when we're moving from side to side, the fluid touches another hair-like structure and sends the signal to the brain. Be careful, he's moving now from side to side or forward. But we don't fall over, do we? We have perfect balance because all the time the ear is working away. Sometimes when we feel sick, it's because of the balance. We have an infection maybe and we feel dizzy because the fluid is not working as it should. And all this in such a small and tiny structure. Now, I don't know about you, but the technology in that, it is incredible, isn't it? In fact, the microphone we have before us is based upon the same principle we find in our ear. And we see that microphone there, we think, well, that's a product of good design, isn't it? It's been manufactured to a specification, it's been manufactured perfectly there, and we got there. How much more so in our ear? The microscopic parts of the ear there, it is incredible, isn't it? So we could join the psalmist, couldn't we? I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works. And that's just one part of our body that we could take for granted until we start getting a bit older and we lose our hearing. And then we realise what a wonderful blessing we've had. So when we look at scripture then, what's the most important part of the body? Well, I think you guess what I think it is. I think it's the ear, isn't it? Because where does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. And we touched upon this morning in the garden, didn't we, about Adam and Eve. And what was the condemnation there to Adam? Well, he's hearkened unto the voice of his wife and not unto the voice of God. And for ourselves, there's much noise in this world, isn't there, brothers and sisters? Whatever form that might be. On the media, there's many different forms of media we can connect with, and there's much noise and there's much disturbance in the earth. It's incumbent upon us, isn't it, brothers and sisters, to sit quietly at times such as this in our homes and actually sit and listen to the word of God. Because if we don't, like Adam and Eve, we could be distracted from the purpose of God. It could stop us from inheriting the kingdom of God if we listen to the things of the world rather than listening to the things of God. It's often been said that we've lost the skill of hearing in this generation. We're always on smartphones or computers now, and we don't listen to each other. And that can be a problem, isn't it? We can use this technology to our benefit, but we still must take time to look at each other face to face. Face to face with God, as Solomon did in a picture. Face to face with man and wife. Our children, our brothers and sisters. How often when we're speaking, we can't wait for them to finish so they can hear our words. We live in an impatient and a busy time, don't we? A busy lifestyle. But let's take time to sit and hearken to each other. What then of Israel? Would you turn with me then to Exodus chapter 10? We're starting to pick up a few scriptures now as we go through the nation of Israel. Just pick up some pertinent points, lessons of exhortation for themselves, but also for ourselves. Exodus chapter 10, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. This is the important part for us, verse 2. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. That was the important point, wasn't it? Faith comes by hearing. Even children, maybe they can't read. But by hearing the word of God in our homes, doing the readings together, then the purpose of God will be passed on from generation to generation. And in times of adversity, such as in Egypt, then the children would take confidence that their mother and their father believed God and they'll be saved. And they're where they were brought out of Egypt, weren't they? Just come across to Exodus 19. As a nation then, having heard the words of the God, words of God through Moses, what was their response? Exodus 19, verse 4. Having now come out of Egypt, Moses writes, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And verse 8, having heard these words, all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And we're pretty much like that, aren't we, brothers and sisters, at our baptism? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But unfortunately, at times, as we see the example of Israel, we do go astray from that. Would you come with me to Deuteronomy? Just pick up a quick account there of the wanderings of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 1. The 12 spies had gone in to spy out the land and came back. Joshua and Caleb were all four to going into the land. They'd heard the words of God, they'd seen the miracles in Egypt, and they were fully prepared to go in and take the land. But the other spies gave an evil report, and that affected the people. Now, they could have listened to the words of Joshua and Caleb, but they didn't, did they? They chose to hear the other ten. So verse 28, Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, The people is greater and taller than we. The cities are greater and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. But they'd seen the miracles come out of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the destruction of the mighty Pharaoh. But yet they chose to listen to the evil report. In verse 35, they were classed as an evil generation which would not see the good of the land. And then in verse 40, But as for you, Moses recounts, turn you and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then he answered and said unto me, We have sinned against the Lord, because they wouldn't go up and take the land. But now they decided, We will go up and fight according to all that the Lord our God commanded us. And when you had girded on every man his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the hill. And the Lord said, verse 42, Say unto them, Go not up, neither fight, for I am not among you, lest you be smitten before your enemies. So I spake unto you, and you would not hear. They'd already been reprimanded for not going up. Now they decided to take it upon themselves that they would go up. Moses again encouraged them not to go up, but they would not hear, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord and went up presumptuously. And this is the important point, brothers and sisters, verse 45. And so he returned and wept, having been slaughtered before the Lord. But the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. There's a lesson for us, isn't there, brothers and sisters? That having known what the purpose of God is and what we are to do, even though they'd sinned there, they could have recognised their sin and prayed to God, but they didn't. They went presumptuously. and went up and they thought to do their own thing. And the sad thing is, verse 45 that we've read, that the Lord would not hearken to your voice, nor give ear unto you. Let's beware, brothers and sisters, whatever we do, that we don't rebel against God, because the God that hears prayer might not hear attentively to our prayer. He might not answer our prayers. He might not give it. He might turn his ears away from us if we're rebellious and sinful like the children of Israel. Would you come to Leviticus chapter 8? There's an interesting ceremony with the consecration of the temple that has to do with bear upon our exhortation to one with ears. It's fundamentally embedded in the purpose and the service of God by the priesthood. Leviticus 8, verse 22. And he, Moses, brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. And he slew it, and Moses took the blood of it, and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumbs of their right hands, and upon the great toes of their right feet. Notice the order. It was ears first, then the thumb on the hand, and then the foot. So against the same principle, faith comes by hearing. So the ear was touched first. But having heard the word of God, we need to do works of faith, don't we? So we wear the hands, we do the work. And then finally the right toe was tipped with the blood. And it's a continual walk doing the things of God. So in a simple act throughout the life of the priesthood, they must hear, they must do, and they must walk in the right way. And then that then was taught to the children of Israel. And it's a good example, isn't it? That like for ourselves, we've been touched by the blood of the new covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us always be hearing and doing and walking in the ways of righteousness. And if that wasn't enough, later on, under the sacrifices for the leper, which is a symbol of human nature, isn't it? A symbol of sin. The exact same offering had to be given. The blood was put upon the tip of the ear and of the thumb and the right foot of the leper to be cleansed. Same principle. Having been received forgiveness, that we listen to the word of God, we do it and we walk in his ways. Would you come with me to another reference? Exodus chapter 21. Just a little account there of a servant. A servant that he decided that he wanted to stay in his master's house. So Exodus 21. Verse 2, we see that if thou bind Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve thee, and in the seventh he shall go out for free, for nothing. But if he decided he wanted to stay, verse 5, if thy servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then it's an interesting description of what he should do next. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges, he shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So we get the idea of the ears being pinned against the door. You can see how it's, the ear is open. And there's a lot of symbology in that, isn't it, brothers and sisters? When we think of the door, who do we think of? For ourselves, we think of Jesus Christ, he's the door of the shepherd. So for ourselves, who is the master? Well, it's God, isn't it? If we want to serve in God's house forever, then we must be attentive to the words of Jesus, and then we shall serve him in the kingdom forever. A simple passage there, but bears quite a bit on our exhortation this morning, doesn't it? The ears. But it goes further. Would you come with me to Psalm 40? Because we see these principles here in Exodus worked out in Psalm 40 with the opening of the ear. As we start to turn our thoughts toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 40, verse 6. The sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. And my margin says that it was digged. It's the idea of the same principle of the servant wishing to be in the master's house forever. That the ear was opened as it was all through and to the door. So in that simple prophecy there, Messianic Psalm there, we see how the Lord Jesus Christ was going to take that principle of a servant in his master's house forever. And Isaiah gives us more detail regarding how he actually opened up his ears. Would you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 50? I just want to pick up a couple of verses here. Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Now how did he learn? How did he learn these things? Well, the verse continues, he wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Verse 5, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Morning by morning. We do the same thing, don't we, brothers and sisters, young people? We have the daily readings. So morning by morning, or evening by evening, or whenever you do your readings, it's the same principle. Faith comes by hearing. Jesus had to learn the things that he did through, as Isaiah says here. He listened to the word of God day by day. He prayed to God, hour by hour, sometimes we read, don't we? That he opened his ear. He was not rebellious, neither turned away back. And that kept him going through the difficult times, didn't it? Particularly when another occasion where he was nailed to the wood, this time not his ear, but his body, his hands and his feet. But all these things that he'd learned, he kept them before him that saw him through the difficult times. It's the same with ourselves, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, let's be attentive to the word of God, because there's comfort in there, there is solace. So having been taught by God, what was his mission? Well, would you come with Luke chapter 4? There's a lovely scene here where Jesus, having learned of his Father, he was now about to give meat in due season, to give the word to the people. Luke chapter 4. Verse 16. And when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, Jesus, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And I'm sure in that description we can find ourselves at some point, can't we, brothers and sisters, in there, that Jesus Christ had come to bind all these things up. And to preach the gospel, verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. Can you picture the scene there? He sat down, and all eyes said, they were all looking at him. They were fastened on him, intent at the words that he said. Remarkable words. And then he began to say to them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. He came to preach to the lowly, to the downcast, to the brokenhearted. This is the same scripture that he'd heard and he'd learned of his Father. And this day, he says, scripture is fulfilled in your ears. We can't see the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have his words, don't we? We come here this morning to remember him in the bread and the wine, a symbol of an obedient servant that hearkened to the voice of his Father, that nailed his ear, he opened his ear to the door. As you said, Jesus Christ is the door of the sheep, isn't he? How many times in his teaching the gospel did he say that he that hath ears to hear, let him hear? We're living in difficult circumstances, brothers and sisters. There's many things, as we said, in the world that will take our hearing and take our attention. And as the last times come, no doubt, there will be many things within the brotherhood that we don't agree with, or that we think are wrong. We need to hear the word of God. We need to listen to have the hearing of a watchman, that we can protect the truth and protect the future that we have, because there will be others that would take us away. And so we need to use our hearing as well as an early warning system, that we can protect the ecclesia, just like Jesus did to protect the sheep. And like we read in the temple, we don't have a temple, but we come to pray through Jesus. But God will hear our prayers if we come to him prayerfully, acknowledging our sins, which is what we're doing this morning, isn't it? Because he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? Said the psalmist. One final reference, brothers and sisters, before we conclude. One final word of exhortation from the Lord Jesus Christ as he's writing to the ecclesia, the seven ecclesias. Would you turn to Revelation, please, chapter 3. Verse 20. As we anticipate the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the exhortation here is as true today as it was then when it was written over 1,000 years ago. Just imagine it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you, brother, sister. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He then that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the ecclesias.